Yo, man, you all right in there? You coming out hot.
That wasn't fun.
I imagine it wasn't.
It was kind of fun.
I mean, for us, it was. I remember doing a show one day when I was sick, and I was hitting this cough button after, like, every sentence because it was just one of – I don't even think we had started the lowdown yet. I think Jason – it was just I was filling in for Jason and Nate or something, and I would literally talk, cough button, clear my throat, try not to, you know, hog up a lung.
Yeah.
That's what you get, man. Your Chipotle visit was too close to showtime, man.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Way too close. Welcome in. And don't worry, you didn't lose 2 hours of your lives. It was actually 12:01.
We're good.
There is a two involved, though.
Yeah, so yeah. It's tough, man. We all have our problems.
But it's Friday, man, and that's how we roll. Welcome.
Welcome
to the Friday edition of The Lowdown. We thank you so much for being here with us. I am Damian Barling, joined by my man, the one-man gang, one Charles T. Hamilton.
What up?
Jason Ross is on Sac State Hornets business.
Stingers up.
Stingers all the way up. he'll be back with us on Monday. We'll have our Friday Five today. Five storylines, players, games, whatever it may be. Five things you should be looking forward to. Five storylines you should be paying attention to headed into the weekend here. We'll have that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll talk basketball. We'll go all over the place today. Lots of football. We'll give you our picks. We'll do all that stuff. Of course, you could jump in here on the text line at 44-1140. You can also get us on the phone lines, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That opening is very much appreciated by Text Nation. They are loving it. Now, that's how you do an intro. Yeah, it's a Friday intro, man. We're just as laid back as you are. And looking around our building here at 5244 Madison Avenue, I think some people's already started their weekend.
Mm-hmm. We got some golf swings going on outside.
Right. Is this a holiday that I wasn't aware of? Like, J. Ross is gone. All the doors are shut.
Seriously.
It's an empty building, man. But, again, we're happy you're here with us. If you're just on your lunch break, you're headed back to the office, you don't want to miss anything, download the radio.com app. You can listen to all 3 hours right there. The tunein.com app, you can listen to us on khdk.com. Of course, you can listen to us on the radio in Northern California here on Sports 1140. And you can subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes and listen at your very own leisure. If you're unaware of why we constantly plug that radio.com app, man, we got listeners in Arkansas, Connecticut. We got some high-profile listeners in Washington, D.C. now.
Hello.
How about that?
Hello.
So we got people who listen to us all over the place, man, and we are thankful for each and every single one of you. I don't know if we have any listeners in Green Bay or Chicago, though. Well, actually, I think we do have a couple in Chicago. I don't know about Green Bay.
but
they got a win last night.
They did.
There's going to be a lot of storylines coming out of the Packers' big win yesterday. I guess it's a big win. It's a divisional win. I guess anytime you win in the division, it matters, no matter what you think of the Chicago Bears. Yeah, they did. Indeed, mm-hmm. They did. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, threw for, what was it, 4 touchdowns?
Yeah, only 179 yards, but you put 4 in the end zone.
How does that happen?
I don't know. Like, I don't even do that on Madden. I saw the numbers last night. I was like, really? Like, are we sure this isn't the first half?
And it's not like they had, like, 120 yards rushing or, you know, like, they had no 100-yard rusher. That's just how bad the Bears were. Mike Glennon, at one point, we were joking about this right before the show started. Mike Glennon, at one point, had 2 completions and 2 fumbles.
2 fumbles lost also.
Yeah. And they both led to points, which is why Aaron Rodgers was able to throw for well under 200 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Mike Glennon, man. I feel for that guy a little bit right
now. So we'll start there. Yeah. We mentioned that there's 2 storylines. The Packers won. The Bears are bad. We know the Bears are bad, even though they've been in they've been competitive in a couple of their games. Obviously, they won one, but the Packers won 35-14. The 2 storylines coming out of the game are the hit on Davante Adams from Danny Trevathan. And the other one is what you just said right there, Mike Glennon. You feel bad for Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon's in a position where he is – you know, in a lot of cities around the NFL, the most popular guy, not all of them, but the most popular guy on the roster is the backup quarterback. We hear that all the time. And this backup quarterback just happened to be taken number two overall in the draft?
Yeah, number 2 overall.
And, by the way, you moved up from number 3 to get him.
And gave up a good at least 2 draft picks, I think.
And so – you saw things in the preseason that you liked from him. There was – I don't know about the sample size for Mitchell Trubisky coming out of North Carolina. I think he started 13 games. He says he played 30, but no one can seem to find the other 17 games that he played in. But, you know, Mike Glennon was brought in, you can go with either, with a high price tag out of Tampa Bay. He was thought to be a sought-after backup quarterback who could, you know, similar to the way Jimmy Garoppolo is looked at right now.
I mean, we've seen it 100 times. Garoppolo, I mean, back to Matt Castle. Who else recently? I mean, Matt Flynn. We've seen it tons. Kevin Cobb, tons of times. Backups, like you said, they're not only the most popular guys in certain cities, they're the most popular guys in other cities, too, that don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, great point. Yeah. Great point right there. And now it looks like they're headed into it's not a bye week, but when you have a Thursday game, they call it the mini bye. And they got the Vikings coming up. Pretty damn good defense. They got the Ravens coming up, and despite what we saw from them in London, I still think that's a good defense. We'll talk about them here in a little bit, and they got the Panthers after that. So those are three very defensive-minded teams coming up, and you have this mini bye. John Fox has said, we need to make a lot of changes, and we will evaluate everything. We've got to get back to work before we line up against Minnesota on October 9th. We're going to look at everything. And you know, when an NFL coach says we're going to look at everything, it means specifically we're going to look at the quarterback position.
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird with the Bears, because I look at their roster and they should be better than this. I mean, they're one of these teams that are a quarterback away, and I know that's, you know, just kind of being thrown out there. It's a lot harder than it sounds than just saying, oh, go get a quarterback. But at a certain point, man, they're going to realize Mike Glennon's not the guy, and they have to go with Mitchell. He wants to be called Mitchell. You have to go with Mitchell. But when is that? When do you decide, all right, we aren't going to be as good as we thought we could be. We don't have that average quarterback in Glennon that we thought he could be. So let's scrap the season and give this kid some reps who, like you said, 30 games, I don't know where the other 17 games.
Right.
At the same time, just give him the time to he's gonna need it anyways,
right,
regardless of when you put him in. So the sooner the better. But if that bye week is so important to give him the extra time, let Glennon go ahead and take his lumps against these next three, you know, top defenses, and then bring in Mitchell. But like you said, when they say John Fox is coaching for his job, and so when you say you're evaluating everything, it's definitely the quarterback, and who knows, Mitchell might be able to save John Fox's job, just like we've seen other quarterbacks do for other coaches.
And, you know, I understand the thought of, well, there was a lot of talk about this last night, especially because it was in Green Bay, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre and all that stuff, and I think it was Tony Romo who brought up the point, like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he did sit 4 years, but he sat behind Brett Favre. Mike Glennon is not Brett Favre. And I understand the David Carr effect, right? You don't want to, you know, I think David Carr is like the poster child of when you get a rookie and you put him in too early, or you put him in right away and their confidence is just destroyed because their team is so bad. I don't know. I mean, he's constantly used as the example, but I don't feel like there's a lot of those guys.
We always use extremes. When we talk about a good rookie, then we say, oh, well, Dan Marino, you know, who had one of the best rookie years we've ever seen.
Right.
And then we talk about the negatives, David Carr, who got sacked more than anyone in the first 2 years of his career than anyone ever has.
Yeah.
So we use extremes completely way too much, because I doubt Mitchell will be a David Carr, because he's also not playing behind that line that David Carr played behind, getting just destroyed. And it's weird to say David Carr this much without messing up. But, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah,
without dropping the other name. But I think we use extremes too much, and I think it's way too much of a worry. Like, oh, we're going to ruin him. No, you got enough players around that he's not going to get his head beaten in like David Carr did. We go to extremes way too often. But, like, we compare players like, oh, he's a big guy. You know, a guy built like Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to be Ben Roethlisberger. No, he's not.
I could be, and I promise you, I've said this for as long as I've had the forum to be able to say this publicly. So this isn't, you know, this isn't revisionist history. This isn't hindsight is 2020. I always thought Alex Smith was a good quarterback.
Okay.
And whenever I looked at Alex Smith, I thought, you're changing coordinator, you're changing coach, you're changing coach, you're changing coordinator. Constantly, constantly, constantly. I said, get this kid some stability and he might be okay. I think he's actually very good. I know Alex Smith is a whole lot higher on my list than he is on some others. But
probably my list.
Yeah, I think he – Jason's as well. Jason's this year he's turning a little bit.
Yeah.
And I understand why people don't think he's a very good quarterback, or, you know, he's on the lower tier of quarterbacks. But My feeling was always, look, when he's been around some stability, the stability in Harbaugh, look what he was able to accomplish. I feel like he was able to accomplish a lot. You look at the stability he's had around Andy Reid. Andy Reid, a quarterback's coach, by the way. Look how well he's played. I think sometimes the difficult, and it's, I guess you have to look, if you're the Chicago Bears organization, what are you going to do with John Fox? And that would be my biggest concern if I'm associated with Mitchell Trubisky, right? If I'm Mitchell Trubisky's people, because what's the point in putting Trubisky in now if you're going to lose John Fox at the end of the year? Because he's had a couple of bad seasons there in Chicago. Yeah. And I don't believe that it's his fault. I do believe that John Fox is a very good football coach. And I don't know if he's an offensive coach, but that's never really been the case there in Chicago, so I guess that's a wash anyways.
Yeah, you said it. If Fox is out the door, and you mentioned Alex Smith changing coordinators, that's going to be a coordinator change.
And that's a bad look, and that's going to be a tough adjustment mm-hmm. for Mitchell Trubisky. There's a top, you know, I'll give you the top text right here. Bears need to keep Trubisky out and let Glennon have this year. Let Trubisky learn. And I guess the question would be, and this was, I think, what was posed last night on the broadcast between Romo and Nance, because they had time to fill as that game got bad. Oh, and, of course, what was a 45-minute thunder delay that was going on there at Lambeau. But what are you going to learn, right? Are you talking about learn the ways of the NFL? Like, what exactly are you going to learn sitting behind, right now, a bad quarterback? And there's – you know, Ken Rudolph would make the argument. He's a big Bucs fan. He loved Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon was a guy. He was a great backup quarterback to Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Maybe Mike Glennon is a fantastic teacher. Maybe mm-hmm. he's better leading from the second spot rather than the first, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I think he can be a leader. He can be a guidance. He can be a teacher, but he might not be able to do it while trying to lead the team to W's.
Yeah, he's sticking his neck out being the starter. Come on, man. That guy's got
doing?
A neck. Like, that thing's like a foot long.
That,
come on.
Leave that man alone. Come on, man.
Come on.
Today's one-liners are brought to you courtesy of one Charles T.
Yeah, I got you. I got plenty Hamilton. Of locked up. That's, we're 13 minutes in. I already got, I might retire on that one.
Right, I know you got some. I know you got some in the
but
chamber
no, I mean,
also.
You nailed it. He had a good rookie year with Tampa Bay. His numbers, if you look at his numbers his rookie year, you will take that from a rookie quarterback every single time. But now that he's getting the shot, he's getting exposed, man. He's just getting exposed. And it's a bad look to keep him in. I don't know how much longer you're going to stick with this because there is talent on that team. I mean, Jordan Howard's a beast.
He is.
Defensively, not great, but they still have talent there.
So is the issue primarily, and let's clarify, a lot of people have texted stat to us. We have it, or not this stat, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. have texted these numbers to us, and we have them in front of them. In front of us as well. Glennon is essentially a one-year guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
It's very much when Mike Glennon was signed, Mike Glennon was never brought in, and he had to have known this from the deal that he signed. He was never brought in to be the long-term solution to that quarterback position.
Yeah, just like a lot of NFL deals, once the guarantee runs out, it's team options. So it's basically a one-year deal with two team options, which aren't going to be picked up, let's be honest.
Unless something changes drastically, they're probably not. Yeah, yeah, because of the sheer dollar figure, which is 18 to 19 million for the next 2 years. That right there, they're not being picked up.
Nah.
But is it just when you look at the Chicago Bears, when you watch Chicago Bears play, and you mentioned Jordan Howard there, is it simply a problem at the quarterback position? Like, do they win? Because Mike Glennon hits Jordan Howard there at the goal line mm-hmm. in week one. Against the Atlanta Falcons, Jordan Howard catches that ball.
Yeah.
They beat the Atlanta Falcons.
They're 2-1.
Well, they're 1-3 now, so maybe they're 2-2 at worst.
Yeah.
They're 2-2. They were in position to win in week 2 also. So is that Mike Glennon's fault? Like, I watched enough of the Bears Falcons game to know it wasn't, and I always pinpoint that pass because it was on the goal line mm-hmm. and it's hard to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of drop passes in that game. A lot of drive stopping dropped passes.
Yeah. You know, I'm probably crushing Glennon too much, and I think everyone probably is after the game he had last night, but it's hard to ignore the game he had because it was so bad. And I give the offense credit, but again, they're missing Kevin White for the third straight year. Alshon Jeffrey isn't there anymore. So, I mean, there is some weapons, but maybe not as many as I initially thought. I just think they could be better with average quarterback play. I think they have a lot of talent defensively. Purnell McPhee, Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, all these, they're big defensively and can smash you. I mean, well, that maybe not right term after what happened last night.
Well,
but,
and let's segue into that. The other big story that's coming out of last night's Thursday night football game with the Packers and the Bears is the hit from Danny Trevathan on Davante Adams. And listening to guys try to diplomatically explain what happened last night, it was a vicious hit. It was uncalled for. I think the questions that we are looking at now is, why wasn't Danny Trevathan thrown out?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that play? Because college football has a targeting rule, and the way they evaluate targeting in college football is they go to replay.
Yep.
And that this is weird. I don't know how to say this. Targeting isn't reviewable in the NFL. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
That has to be a like snap. Mm-hmm. That has to be a real time call. And I don't know if you can retroactively call targeting. I don't know how that works, but I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to the league office to figure out what type of punishment. I got him. That was an illegal hit.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Straight
that was. There is a fine coming whether there was a flag, but there is a fine coming whether
probably
there was
a suspension.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That is what we got to watch for, is if there's a suspension coming.
Yeah, it's not like touchdowns or turnovers that automatically get reviewed where a ref can say, that's questionable, I'm going to call it a touchdown because I know I can review it next.
Right.
You would have to call that immediately and kick the guy out, and that's a snap decision, a snap call that they could get wrong. The fact it's not reviewable is pretty ridiculous. I mean, he should have been kicked out and suspended on top of that probably, but the fact that they can't review it, they're not going to make that call unless it is even more egregious, which is hard to imagine. It's just a bad situation, a bad look for the NFL, the fact that they can't go look at it, and he continued to play. And I give the Green Bay Packers credit for not attacking him the very next play. Like, honestly, this could have been so much worse of a situation where these teams start going at each other immediately the next play. Where I think some Raiders offensive linemen might have done something like that. I think there's some offensive linemen around the league that might have done something like that. But the fact is, I give the Packers credit for not doing it because it could have escalated to so much worse.
I heard Herm Edwards use the term, see what you hit. Yep. He did not see what
Eyes
he hit.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, he did not see
he
what he hit.
He came in with the crown of the helmet.
Here is Aaron Rodgers diplomatically explaining what happened. Here's my man, Martellus Bennett, not so diplomatically explaining what happened. I love Marty Bennett.
He's the best.
I love the Bennett brothers. They're just
absolute
fantastic.
Best, man.
I will take real over phone, and not that Aaron Rodgers wasn't being real. He was being very real.
Diplomatic.
He was He was approaching. I'm the quarterback of this team, and I'm going to address this team this way. I'm going to address you guys this way, and that's fantastic. Yeah. You need a guy like that.
Yeah.
But I also like having a guy.
Martellus
like,
said, "I'm 6'6", 270. I'm the tight end. I'm going to say whatever I want."
Right. Exactly. that's what I love about him. You know what's effed up is we don't like it when it's like because he's thinking. You know, he's probably thinking like we are, man, that's effed up. He's running around jumping and celebrating. And like, come on, man, you just not. And whenever, obviously they don't know this because they're on the field, but whenever the announcers react, it's, you know, it's something big.
Yeah.
And Romo reacted. And that's actually what caught my attention because I wasn't looking at the TV during the hit. I just heard Romo go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
No, live action, it wasn't as bad when you look at it slow-mo and see the mouthpiece fly out and that he's out before he hits the ground. Live action, you see him kind of spin into it, and it looks bad, but not Romo could tell immediately.
Well, I heard it. Yeah. I heard the noise, and then I heard Romo, and I thought, uh-oh. And then they didn't go to the replay right away, and I thought, oh, no. Like,
and
so
he's
made the decision right there. Okay, I'm not replaying it because I don't really know what happened. All I heard was the pop. And then I heard Romo react, so I waited, and then they showed the replay, and it was like they showed the slow motion replay where you saw, you know, the helmet like crack the mouthpiece go flying, and then they showed it in real time again with the sound effects with it. And it was like, oh boy. Yikes.
It you're never going to take the violence out of the game, but you can.
But we want it violent. Isn't that what we want?
Here's my thing is like the.
Isn't that what your boy said?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
That ain't my boy.
Go on, you got 15 yards. We can't have that. We want violence. Isn't that what he said? I just slipped into a little Vince McMahon impression.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, just the object should be get the player down. It shouldn't be go full speed, you know, head down, crown of the helmet. that's where we need to, personally, I think where it needs to be, we're working on it, but still needs to be kind of taken out of the game. Where, look, you can make the hit, you can make the play, but we also don't have to go for someone's head at full speed. Like, yeah, the Greg Williams stuff, kill the head, kill the body, which he said during Bounty Gate and all that. Like, that needs to be taken out of the game completely. There's no place for that.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I understand that there's a generation that grew up with an entirely different type of football.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of, maybe me more so than you, a little bit in the middle, right? We didn't see the Steelers of the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't see the Raiders of the early 80s and the late 70s. But we saw guys, it wasn't that long ago that there was a segment called Jacked Up, right?
I used to watch it every
Monday.
Where
you're celebrating hits like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember who brought it to ESPN's attention or who brought it to Boomer's attention or who brought it to whose attention, but it was like, guys, this is, and their line would always be, oh, we don't show the hits where we know that the guys are injured.
Yeah, we knew they're okay.
And it was, you know, looking like, you can't watch those again.
No.
And they're mostly those plays that we saw last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back. There's more to talk about. We got a lot of texts coming in here. The biggest deal in the NBA that had not been completed is now completed, and it's a massive one. We'll tell you about it when we get back here on the Lowdown. It's time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com. Baby. Come on, man. Little Tony. What was it? What was that movie? Tony?
That was Pop Star.
That's what it was.
Oh, y'all didn't
know. I was the fourth Tony. It was Tony, yeah. Tony. Tony?
I would add an question mark to the back of my name.
You know
that
what?
That movie was so stupid.
I enjoyed
man.
It. That movie dumb, was dumb, but I enjoyed it, though.
That movie was solid.
Awful. It was solid.
So bad. That movie was so bad. But I don't know why that line makes me – I don't know why
it's
that makes me
Tony,
laugh.
Man.
Hey, check this out.
Check
the
it.
The ultimate troll job. We told you there was one deal left to be done
mm-hmm.
in the NBA. Russell Westbrook has agreed
yes.
to
yes.
his five-year, $205 million extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder on Kevin Durant's birthday.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
That is my man. I love Russell Westbrook.
But, I understand the connection, but what does that have to – KD doesn't care.
That's a top 50 – that's a top five troll job.
I don't know. Why? What does
just
that have to do with KD?
It doesn't.
I'm
making
yeah.
it up in my
own
head.
You're definitely stressed.
I just think it's fantastic.
It is pretty good. It is pretty good. But, yeah, KD
– if Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal can make up on Martin Luther King – Junior Day,
uh-huh.
then Russell Westbrook can absolutely sign his extension on Kevin Durant's birthday, and it's the same thing. Same thing.
Wait, but you said Shaq and Kobe made up.
Yeah, on Martin Luther King Day, right? they made up on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah,
and it was symbolic,
you, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah okay,
yeah,
I got
yeah.
you.
So now Russell Westbrook signs his extension.
You're reaching. You're reaching here. You're reaching. I'll let it go. Yeah, that's fine. Let's do it. I'll buy in. Great troll job. Let's go.
Come on, man. You wanted to mention it was Kevin Durant's birthday bad, and now we get to it.
Oh, so bad. I was helping you out.
It was Durant's birthday. Westbrook signing an extension. Melo's in Oklahoma City. Everything is wonderful.
I want to get your opinion on Melo. I know you've probably touched on it, but obviously – Russell Westbrook agreeing to this deal is a lot bigger than getting Melo or PG. Even the fact is they have their guy now. I know people were praising him last year when he kind of signed that fake extension that just allowed him to be there for one more year for $8 million more dollars. This year it's real. This is real. You have your guy now.
It wasn't a fake extension. It's just that he had the ability to opt out.
Well, the idea that proved that he was down for OKC and he is their guy. No, it gave you one more year and it gave him $8 million more dollars.
Is that fruit punch or orange flavored Haterade you're drinking?
Is
that lime?
No, it's Faderade.
Oh.
I got a little something extra in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that extension last year, people trying to equate it to him being OKC's guy, it made him more money for that year and then gave him a year to decide whether to opt in or out or not. This is real. This is you have your guy locked up for 5 years. He's OKC's guy. They should love him as much as they do. All that good stuff. But I'm just saying, last year it wasn't what people made it out to be. This is the one. And
why
the fact
don't
he agreed
calm
to it.
Down, party pooper.
I'm trying to get to the party. Russell. I'm trying to get to the party. I pooped on the first one. He signed the deal. It's awesome. Good for them. Happy for him. Party, whatever.
You're pooping on everything.
I'm just saying it has nothing to do with KD's birthday.
You're a little too confrontational today. I think Chris got y'all fired up before the show started. You and Chris were fighting for an hour before
That's
the
Chris,
show started.
Man.
That is Chris. Chris can piss you off.
He thinks everything's a personal attack on him.
Well, he
all.
Just tries to piss you off. He does it to me every day, and he succeeds.
Yeah, he's a real life troll.
Russell,
real button pusher.
That's Russell, a troll.
Russell Westbrook now has the biggest total contract in NBA history. He is owed $233 million over the next 6 years.
That's on top. It's on top of this one. That's good. Hey, good money if you can get it, man.
No, that's the total duration of the contract.
Yeah.
That's
this
year
and then the next
and then
five.
The next one. Yep, $233 million.
Good money
dollars.
If you can get it, man.
And Chris brought up a great point. Yeah. Over $233 million in Oklahoma City, which is probably equivalent to about $800 million there. And $233 million in the state of California. That's probably good for about a $1.5 million.
Yeah, you probably get a studio
probably
in the Bay or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Him
you
and
know, something cool.
Maybe him and Westbrook.
Well, no,
him
and
KD.
We'd get a spot together, bunk beds, could. All that. Be pretty sweet.
Running into Steve Kerr's office. Can we build bunk beds? So.
You're grown men. Do what it
is. So. Is that a yes?
This is going to be the best night ever.
So much room for activities.
Oh, my God. Look, good for
so
Westbrook.
That was the last big story, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, I don't know that it doesn't really constitute the offseason.
We have like 2 days of
training camp,
pretty much.
Training camp is underway, but that was the last major story we were waiting for, right? We got an unsuspecting Chris Paul trade. We got a Paul George trade that may have happened a little bit earlier than we thought it would. We got the Melo deal done. We got Westbrook's extension. D. Wade got a buyout. He's finally joined forces with his BFF.
Oh, boy.
And
Kyrie.
No one saw that coming.
That's the thing. We mentioned Kyrie. No one mentions that IT was part of that, too, that another star got traded.
And those, And those weren't deals. That particular deal right there wasn't one that we were anticipating.
Oh,
coming
no.
into the coming into the offseason, we were watching Westbrook's contract.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching Melo.
Paul George.
Paul George.
It was up in the air.
We thought
Butler
it would be
too,
best to move
kind of
him this year.
Thing.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, the same thing. But they all actually happened.
Hayward, we didn't even mention Hayward. I mean,
he was a free agent, but we were monitoring obviously the big free agents that were out there. And I guess it should be noted, Chris Paul was a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He just chose to opt in.
Yeah, because
of his
then
deal.
CBA,
it's 1 year. It's basically a 1 year tryout.
Yeah, but he opted in because it also kept his bird rights to where he can sign a bigger extension with Houston than if he stayed a free agent. All convoluted CBA stuff. But yes, he would have been a free agent if they hadn't done the sign and trade. He was going to give that up to go to Houston.
I don't like Houston.
Personally or on the court?
I'm not interested in them. Like last year, so 2 years ago with mm-hmm. Dwight and James Harden, I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it. Last year, they made me interested,
mm-hmm.
and they made me buy it because they were really good. And then they did the deal with Chris Paul. I feel like they lost a lot of stuff that made them mm-hmm. successful last year. Now, they didn't lose James Harden.
Depth.
Yeah, I feel like they lost
Patrick Beverly and Lou Williams. Those are big losses.
They lost enough depth to where you look at it and go, if you were already on the fence
mm-hmm.
with Houston, and I know I might have been the last person on the fence with them, but if you were, I feel like heading into this year, you're like, no, man, uh-uh, I'm not feeling it. And then the emergence, Oklahoma City's projected win total before Carmelo Anthony was 51.5. Do you know what it was after Carmelo Anthony?
Well, I mean, it was, look. you had Cantor before you traded Carmelo Anthony. So, I mean, that's five wins at least.
52.5 Carmelo Anthony equated to one more win, according to Las Vegas.
Yeah, yep.
According to Las Vegas for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
What do you think? Are you disagreeing? Are you? I've been wanting to ask where you at with with the Melo edition, because I know you're a Russell Westbrook guy.
We asked. We talked with Kara Lawson yesterday, who's the newest analyst for the Washington Wizards.
Shout out.
The NBA for ESPN, and she was really interested in Houston and not at all interested in Oklahoma City.
Really,
my feeling with Oklahoma City is I for some reason, and maybe it's just my unbridled love of one Russell Westbrook III.
Yes. Is he a third?
I think so.
That's tight.
He might be a second. I think he's a third. I think he can change his game. And I think he played the way he did last year to prove a point. And I think he can play differently now with Paul George. I think he can play differently with Russell, with Carmelo Anthony. I think he can be a more Chris Paul type point guard. You're laughing.
Well, I just
you
here,
kiss like, my ass. I don't care if you don't agree with me. say it. Say you don't agree with me. It doesn't bother me. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
He didn't change when he had Kevin Durant there. He didn't. If a guy wasn't emboldened to play the way he did last year, why would a $240 million contract make him be like, you know what? I'm going to be the team guy now.
Or is it that he's locked in for five more years? He's not going to be able to play the way he played last year for five straight years.
And that might be the case. This might be motivating to, hey, I'm locked in. I don't have to worry about my
MVPs. I need to get
MVPs.
Paul George to stay
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. That might be the case. But I just think the history we've seen, I wouldn't bet on that happening, personally.
I didn't say I'd bet on it. I just said I think it's capable of happening.
Young had a great set of tweets where he said with Melo, Russ, and Paul George, it'll be interesting to see who takes the last shots all year. And then he goes, just kidding, Russ is going to take them all.
A Royce Young reference here in the first hour of the lowdown. Absolutely spectacular. We'll come back.
Reverse
we'll talk more
out.
Basketball. Plus, what did Urban Meyer had to say? He has a very strong stance on some NCAA violations. We'll talk about that as we continue here with the lowdown.
From the mic, they too cold.
It's time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com. You can catch that game here. 6 p.m. on Saturday on Sports 1140. You can also catch Georgia, Tennessee. Good old Rocky Top, number 7, Georgia against the now unranked Tennessee Volunteers.
We're going to be singing Rocky Top all night.
Yeah.
Shout out Lane, my man Lance.
I hope so. Don't ever shout out Lane Kiffin when
shout
doing
out
it.
Lance Kiffin Jr.
Don't
Manus
ever
man.
Yeah, don't ever do that when referencing the University of Tennessee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, do
my bad.
Not
that's
do
all,
that.
That's my
yeah,
bad.
Do not do
I forgot
that.
This there's a connection there. Has anyone failed up better than him?
No.
Failed upwards.
Nope.
Not
immediately off the top of my head, no.
No, yeah, I can't think of one either. I was always impressed by that.
See? We apologize. That did not make air. We sincerely apologize. Christopher Verlot is unprofessional. You're on timeout. Chris, you are firmly on timeout. Russell
really
Westbrook
good,
has signed a five-year extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Training camp is underway. As we noted, it is Kevin Durant's birthday. You know what? At all the training camps, other than the commentary from Steve Kerr and Steph Curry, particularly regarding Donald Trump and the Sports Illustrated issue, I haven't heard much. I guess we're 2 days in, really. We haven't heard much out of any. I haven't even heard that much out of King's training camp.
Right? It's been a little quiet. Not that there should be anything big coming out, but
right.
It's just it's been pretty mellow.
The one thing we did hear
pretty
is
mellow.
I see what you did.
That was unintentional, too.
See,
that was,
that's how good
that's
you are.
That's a home run right there, yeah.
Not bad, as we
or
referenced.
Or a slam dunk.
The one thing that we did hear was LeBron is day-to-day with an ankle issue that he had. I'm going to play this only because a couple of people had texted about it. This is Adam Silver yesterday. Yeah, so a couple of things of note there, because, again, we got a number of texts regarding that remark from Adam Silver. That's a league that's well in place that I thought that we all knew about.
Yeah, that's
because
not,
of,
it's been for years.
And it's fine. You know, Adam Silver is really good about getting ahead of things and making sure, okay, look, I'm just casually, I'm going to throw this in there as a reminder. This league is this league has a rule for that very situation there. But I also never felt like, even dating back to last year, I never felt like that was the route the NBA players go or would go, because my feeling is NBA players are significantly more visible than NFL players.
That, and also I feel like they actually attack the things they might want to protest for head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, hey, wait till Sunday and see what we do.
Yeah.
It's, no, you got 10 mics in front of my face, I'm going to speak about it.
Right.
You know, so I don't feel the need to make a display or anything like that. But, yeah, the rule's been in place ever since Colin Kaepernick first did what he did. It started to become people were saying, well, wait till the NBA starts because they'll have way bigger demonstrations. And they're like, no, they won't. There's a rule that they have to stand. And, yeah, this isn't news, or at least to me. I mean,
no,
they definitely brought it out last
year. I don't think it is. I think the vibe that I got here from the text line, if you want to jump in and be a part of it, obviously we love to hear from you. This show goes nowhere if you're not a part of it. 44-1140, the phone line's available, 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's just Adam Silver getting out in front of things and saying, look, I'm going to just casually throw this in there as part of my remarks. And, you know, he's expressing unity, he's expressing all of these other things. But, hey, as a friendly reminder, our league has a rule regarding this. So if you're
don't ask me about it.
Right. You don't need to ask. I mean, most of you already know, because unlike the NFL, the NBA had a reference point for this.
Yeah.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Mm-hmm.
There was something to go back to and say, hey, we've done this already. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it. We already dealt with this, and there was a some sort of compromise made with him and with Commissioner David Stern at the time. And cool. All right. Here's another text on 44-1140. Bruce Maxwell got booed over the weekend for taking a knee. Are you not in Oakland? He wasn't.
No, it was in Texas.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because when I saw him, he got a standing ovation. Yeah. So that's fine. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys got booed in Arizona for taking a knee before the anthem started.
For their
their choreographed photo op.
Yeah.
That old Uncle Jerry.
They started doing the can-can after. You know, it was a joke.
I really wanted to call him Massa Jerry, but I decided I'd go with Uncle Jerry.
That look he gave, God.
That was the biggest F you look I had ever. Look what I did. Look what I'm doing here. I'm taking a knee with my brothers. We're going to stand up and we're going to back up. Like, here's the thing. If 1,000 players were on their knee before the anthem started, and then the anthem starts and you stand up before last August, you wouldn't notice. Guys are stretching. Guys are doing a number of things. They're tying their shoes. Mm-hmm. They're doing. No one would ever notice. So this isn't a thing. Drew Brees said that the New Orleans Saints are going to do something. Not something similar. They're going to do exactly what the Dallas Cowboys did, which is a choreographed photo op that amounts to nothing. Mm-hmm. However, if that is their form of peaceful protest, and let's be very clear, this is a protest against Donald Trump and nothing else. You could talk about a form of unity. You could talk about all that BS you want to. It has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. Has nothing to do with racial equality. This is a protest against one person, and that's Donald Trump. That's what all these NFL players are doing because they got their feelings hurt.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's against Donald Trump because he said something not nice about them. That's
pretty
it.
Much.
It's not. It has nothing to do with anything else. He said something mean about us, and we're going to link arms and take a knee and then back up and just all this convoluted
it's
stuff.
It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
There is also – and what was funny, what was absolutely hilarious to me, let me read this to you real quick. There is also a rule about standing for the national anthem in the NFL. It's just not being enforced. Our dear texter friend, we love you dearly. That is not the case.
Incorrect.
That is 1,000% not the case. You need to you're evaluating the wrong websites, pal. That is not a rule. And I forgot where I was going because I was thrown off by that text. We'll come back. Hour number two of the Lowdown on the way. We've been talking a lot of NBA. What is the best offseason NBA character?
I think we all know.
I think we do, too.
I think we do.
But there were a lot of them. There was a lot of really good ones. And, you know, we mentioned Carmelo just a few minutes ago. He was telling a story about how the deal with him going to Cleveland, or he had, there was a deal of him and Paul George going to Cleveland, got nixed. There was a deal with him going to Houston, got nixed. You'll hear from him, and we'll continue with the lowdown here on Sports 1140.